This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. Recent UVA graduate Pete Farley wrote WMRA about the Albarine Soapstone Company in Schuyler, where he now works. Pete also grew up in Nelson County, and it was pretty obvious to me that the quarry, which boomed in the first third of the last century, gives him much more than just a job. Pete has the kind of rooted fascination with the place that can seem quite magical. He and I talked first about the stone itself.
It's all across the country, and it kind of comes in different forms with different mixtures of minerals and different proportions, and it kind of makes it different depending on where it's coming from in the country. I'm no geologist, so bear with me.
But you play one at work.
Yes, exactly. The soapstone quarried in Virginia has a talc-y mixture, which gives it the softness and kind of the soapy feel almost. It's a little harder than some that you might find out west, say. So it's used for architectural things, countertops, cladding on the side of buildings, or underfoot as patio and tiles. Cladding, like a really heavy veneer. It can resist really corrosive environments like labs where you have acids or alkalis that might react funny with composite materials. And so in its raw state, it is naturally impervious.
Right. It's impervious.
In its natural state. It doesn't need to be processed. It doesn't need to have a synthetic sealer put on it or anything like that, you know. If you have it in your house, it would be like a cast iron skillet almost that you season and cure and you add oil to and you make it your own. It nicks and scratches maybe sometimes, but those are just evidence that it's been put to good use, you know.
Patina. Are you from Schuyler?
I'm not from Schuyler, but I'm from Nelson County. People from Schuyler might say differently, but I definitely feel a huge, you know, pride that it is from this small area, the small region that I'm from. And so
you take ownership.
I do.
Emotional ownership.
I do.
Of a quarry.
I do.
Tell me the history of this quarry.
The vein of soapstone, as I understand it, is 45 or 50 miles long. It goes from in Albemarle to around Lynchburg. The story that I've always heard is that a gentleman came down here after the Civil War, or maybe it was during the Civil War, came to Central Virginia area and found this small quarry that had been used by local folks, Native Americans, something like that in the area. And that was the genesis of quarrying it for commercial use, architectural use. So in 1888 is when Albarine Soapstone Company started. I'm kind of confused. It's convoluted because at the time, there were several different companies, as I understand, that were quarrying the stone in different parts of the vein. At some point, I think in the early 1900s, a few of them merged together to become Albarine Soapstone Company. And then they built the big mill area that became kind of a mining town in Schuyler.
Where does the name come from?
The man that started, I don't know if he was the guy that found it originally,
or
if he's one of the original guys that founded I think it was the Albarine Soapstone Company. He was that original person. He combined his last name, which was Serene, and Albemarle, Albarine.
Even though it's in Nelson County.
Exactly. Well, see, it's funny because, you know, because the vein spans through a few counties, the original quarry that they built was in Albemarle. But Schuyler is very close to the border of Albemarle and Nelson. So the town of Albarine is probably 10 miles away in Albemarle.
Where in Nelson County did you grow up?
I'm from Roseland.
How far is that from the quarry?
Gosh, it's probably 35 minutes,
okay.
40 minutes from the quarry. But out there, everything is that far away.
No. Were you aware of a quarry as a kid?
Oh, absolutely.
Tell me about you as a kid and the Albarine quarry.
You know, just growing up in the county and having, you know, you have your friends and family friends that are all at different corners of the county, but they all have a piece of soapstone there. So you're seeing this, whether it's in an old patio that is out in your parents' friend's backyard, or it's some huge blocks that are half carved into something, because it's a really workable material. So a lot of people use it for sculpture and things. And so a lot of the people that you grow up, the older folks, have all at some point or another messed around with it a little bit. So you're finding chunks here and there carved into something or being used as just a neat looking rock in their garden or, you know, their patio. Didn't see a whole lot of people with countertops, which is the company as it is now is what they like to make. But I think that's because from when I started working there 5 months ago or so, it wasn't really in a state of high production. And so a lot of people thought it was dead. A lot of people think it's not operating or it's not operating at a scale that they could stop by and get something from them. So it's, you know, it's...
So it's alive. It's alive.
It's very alive. It is operating in the skeleton of a much larger beast, but it's still alive.
Are you a kid? Did you ever visit the quarry?
Oh, yeah. So so we would go swimming in the quarries. And
these were abandoned quarries?
As far as we were concerned, yes, yeah. They were. And we might have passed a sign or two, but...
No trespassing sign, perhaps?
Maybe. But no, I mean, there are a few quarries that were very popular to go to, and they have huge cliffs that we would jump off of.
To tell you, but I've been swimming.
I figured that much. I wasn't going to accuse you of it, but yep.
Okay. You're swimming, you're jumping off cliffs.
It's wonderful because it all has this medieval feel, or it's just got a monumental feel to it because you walk through the woods. The first time I go there, okay, we pull off on the side of this road. It's a main state road, you know, it's a paved one, and you just walk through the woods, not even on a trail necessarily. You can tell there's litter and things around in certain areas, so you know people are going back there, but you're just kind of walking through the woods, and it just opens up into these massive holes in the ground that are slightly terraced and filled with water, and, you know, there's some graffiti and evidence of people being down there and hanging around, but... You know, it's a really powerful effect seeing that, you know, seeing these stone walls that have been carved out, and, you know, your imagination takes hold of you at a certain point and you think, what are in those holes? You know, they're filled with water. And I mean, is there old equipment down in there? Are there 500-pound catfish murking around? Are there bodies? You know, you don't know what you're getting into, but it was always...
Maybe all of really. The above.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there have been, maybe not the catfish. I like to dream about that because I like to fish myself. But
as a child, what do you remember about the buildings or what was going on?
Well, I actually never went in where I work now. Mm-hmm. I never went into the area where, you know, where these old dilapidated buildings are. It was more of a thing where you drive past it on the road. Schuyler's a small town. It has a one convenience store and a post office, and Earl Hamner from the Waltons, his old house is there. And when you're going through there, and I was normally passing through there going to some other small town in the county, never really stopping unless I was swimming in the quarries. But you would see these huge buildings. There's a you know, the old mill building, and part of it has been burned down, but it was made of wall of soapstone, flat stacked, and the walls are 2 feet thick. It's kind of medieval or something, you know. It's the roof has burned down off part of it, and in the doorways you can see the door jams that are still, the burnt wood from the door jams are still there, but the even the steel beams are warped and melted, but the soapstone walls are just straight.
When was the fire?
I want to say it was 40s or 50s, mm-hmm. So not I think it was towards the end of Alberine's reign there, because they never fixed it, you know, so they must not have been doing well enough to right the wrong there.
At the end of the Civil War, this quarry sort of blossoms, goes gangbusters until the mid-40s. What was the activity like? What was the town like? Do you have any sense of that?
There's a lot of old pictures. I have researched a little bit into it, just kind of what was going on. I know that the gentleman that started Alberine Soapstone Company, and after the mergers, he also ended up starting Virginia Railroad Company to move everything out of there. And so, you know, it was definitely a time of a boom time, and they were prospering. They had
Was it prospering because people wanted to build with this?
How do you mean by building?
Build houses or buildings or, you know.
It was used as countertops, as huge windowsills in skyscrapers in Chicago or office buildings in New York. It was used on the floor. I think there's a fireplace surround in the Lincoln bedroom in the White House.
Alberine?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Whoa.
I believe it's the floor of the Agricultural Library in D.C. is also Alberine soapstone.
So this was really well known.
Yes, it was. I mean, from the point of employing around 1,000 people to 12 or 13, what we have now.
So at its heyday, 1,000 people work there.
Mm-hmm. There's more people living in Schuyler than in Lovingston, the county seat at one point.
Where did they live?
It was a mining town, so it was built all around this mill here and the quarries. So they had little buildings for the employees. They had an infirmary at first, and there was enough people getting sick and hurt that they needed to build a hospital. They had a school. The office now is in the old commissary, and there's pictures of all of that, of, you know, little knickknacks and hardware store type things, as well as food and rations that you bought with company chits. So it was a real mining town. You know, it was based off of that industry.
Are the miners' houses still there?
A lot of them, yeah.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a ghost town?
Yeah, it's really eerie. It's like a ghost town. And I think some of them are being used, have been fixed up, and now people own away from, mm-hmm. apart from the company. One of the guys that runs one of the big saws at the mill lives in one of those houses still, right on the site, inside the gate.
And has he been there for a long time?
I think he's been there for several years, seven years maybe. He still also has a connection to it. His grandmother lives in Schuyler, and I don't know how long she's been there, but, you know, he is always coming up, and he would always come up and visit her. He'd ride his dirt bike through the abandoned quarries and everything like I did. And so when he had the opportunity to move up here, he's like, yeah. Love to work there.
It boggles my mind to think of 1,000 people living in Schuyler.
I know.
But we have 1,000 people living in Schuyler and a hospital and a company store. Now we're down to,
12 people.
Great-great-grandma Walton living there. What happened?
That is a mystery to me. Mm-hmm. That's maybe one of the reasons why I wrote to you in the first place, is because it's a really odd thing to be around these buildings that are like castles. They are the walls are 15 or 20 feet high. And, you know, like I said, they're 2 feet thick of stone. And you can tell that this was a wonderfully prosperous thing at one point. And you know, what happened to stop it? And the only thing that I can come to is an economic downturn after the wars or right before the wars, and that coupled with hard years from the Depression leading up to the wars must have brought it down, and then nobody has been able to bring it back up since then. It has changed ownerships multiple times since the 40s. Mm-hmm. I know that. A Finnish company, Tuula Kivi, they make masonry stoves using soapstone.
Yes, that's what I remember. I lived in around Charlottesville mm-hmm. for a while, and that, I think, is who owned the quarry there.
Yeah, they probably owned it at the time, and they just left, apparently, one day. I don't know, in Helsinki, something crazy went down, and they radioed over, and the next day, the company was gone, and the people in Schuyler were left without work. And so, you know, it's weird. It's like it's got a cursed, you know, it'll be managed for a while, and then it just never seems to hit that stride it needs.
Is there plenty of stone still there?
Oh, plenty. Actually,
so you didn't run out of stone to mine, or good quality.
Right. I would like to say that it's because it's good forever, and that's why nobody needs it anymore. But that's not true. I mean, it is good forever, but you know, there's not everybody has it. And
you're out to rectify that.
Exactly.
Who owns it now?
It's a group of investors owns it, and it's under new management.
And here you are. When did you graduate from UVA?
In 2009.
What are you doing working at Alberine? Why? What's the attraction besides a paycheck?
You know, it's like we said before, I have a lot of pride in the stone itself being from the small area that I'm from, and the stone being so unique, it's just it just makes me want to be a part of it. It is something unlike anything you would find anywhere else in the country, much less the world. And it's you know, kind of right on my back doorstep. It's right where I'm from, and not many people are from there. And so, you know, and then also I wanted to be involved with kind of a raw product, something that you can use your imagination. If you have an imagination, you could use it for almost anything, whether it be a countertop in your kitchen or a sculpture that you were wanting to use or supports for some bench out in your garden. Or, you know, it's kind of, we are taking it from the ground and it can go anywhere from there. So it's just, it seemed like a place of possibilities, a place of growth also in what it once was, and seeing it now, you hope that it could become the great thing that it once was.
One note of interest. Albarin Quarry has a humongous scrap heap. In it, you'll find every kind of stone the quarry produces just lying around, waiting for you to drive up in your pickup, fork over $100, and take away whatever your truck will carry. And if you know anything about Albarin Quarry's spotty history, please post it in the comment section of Pete's story, which is posted on the Spark page at WMRA.org. The music just played during the Pete Farley segment was Fridley's Gap from the Steel Wheels' new CD, Lay Down, Lay Low, which you heard about week before last on The Spark. The Spark is a joint production of the WMRA community of listeners and the staff at WMRA Public Radio. The Spark theme music is supplied by the Avant Gardeners of Albemarle County. Our web wrangler is Terry Ward. Many thanks to Terry, Matt, and Bob, as well as to lustrous intern Rachel Quimby. And please, keep those interview suggestions coming through the Spark page at WMRA.org. I'm Martha Woodruff. It has been a great pleasure to be with you.